I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
We're getting a better idea of the timeline of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 kids and two teachers dead.
We begin our team coverage with ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi.
Authorities say the gunman spent 40 minutes to an hour inside the school, opening fire on anyone in front of him. Officials are confirming agents from the Border Patrol's elite specialized units took down the gunman, but not before he killed 19 children and two teachers, including cousins Annabelle Rodriguez and Jacqueline Jalen Cazares, and 10-year-old McKenna Lee Elrod. Her family says she loved softball and gymnastics. Amory Jo Garza had just turned 10.
There are signs on Capitol Hill that some lawmakers are open to the idea of finding common ground to help prevent future school shootings. ABC's Ike Ajachi has more from Washington.
In Uvalde, a familiar argument over gun safety erupting at this news conference.
Sit down and don't play this stuff.
Beto O'Rourke, a Democrat running for governor, interrupted the current governor, Greg Abbott, calling his response to the shooting totally predictable. But in Washington, the familiar arguments are leading to new discussions, at least for now. Senator Susan Collins, a moderate Republican, has already met with other senators to discuss Maine's so-called yellow flag law, which is similar to red flag laws in other states, allowing authorities to temporarily take guns away from people determined to be dangerous.
Senator Mitt Romney is saying it may be time to take another look at gun legislation in Congress, and that's getting national attention in the wake of the Texas school shooting. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas has more.
Senator Romney told reporters in Washington yesterday he'll look again at a bill proposed by Senators Pat Toomey and Joe Manchin. The Deseret News reports the bill would expand background checks. Romney says that's an appropriate federal responsibility. It was first proposed in 2013 after the shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. Romney also said red flag laws, keeping guns away from someone in a mental health crisis, makes sense, but that would be better done by the states. Romney's remarks are getting criticism from some commentators who say he's received large campaign donations from the National Rifle Association. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
Here in Utah, local lawmakers are also talking about what can be done to prevent a school shooting from happening. We get the details from KSL TV's Debbie Worthen.
Utah Senator Derek Kitchen says now is the time for common sense change in Utah. Kitchen says his bill is simple.
What it will do is increase the age by which somebody can procure a firearm from 18 years old to 21 years old.
Representative Steve Ellison says the problem lies in mental health and firearm locks, not guns.
Representative Ellison told KSL that his focus will be on mental health and gun safety.
We will continue to closely follow the Texas school shooting and bring you updates as they happen.
The most restrictive abortion law in the nation is in Oklahoma. ABC's Lina Moise reports.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed into law the most restrictive abortion ban in the country, which took effect immediately. The measure outlaws nearly every abortion from the moment of fertilization. The only exceptions to save the life of the mother or if the pregnancy is a result of rape or incest, but only if it has been reported to law enforcement. The measure does not apply to morning after pills like Plan B. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Biden administration is launching the first federally supported site where COVID-positive patients can immediately get medication to help them.
The federal government opening the first test-to-treat clinic in Rhode Island. A patient can arrive, get a COVID test, and if positive, have medical staff prescribe treatment, including the antiviral Paxlovid. The Biden administration saying it's also helping local clinics become similar federally funded sites and will expand to other states, including New York and Illinois, in the next few weeks.
ABC's Andy Field reporting from Washington.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, substance abuse among young teens decreased, while mental health problems saw a significant increase. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson joins us live with an update. Mark?
Well, Amanda, the findings from the Utah Department of Health and Human Services and Utah Board of Education show a decrease in physical activity and an increase in obesity among students in 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grades. The report also says there was an increase in mental health concerns. But the study conducted in 2021 also reveals a sharp decline in binge drinking, alcohol use, cigarette smoking, and marijuana use. While the uptick in mental health problems is a concern, state health officials say it's pretty much been a trend over the past number of years. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
First look traffic on the 7 o'clock report. Let's go back to the traffic center with Andy.
Well, if traffic on I-15, indication, you'll have a pretty nice drive into Salt Lake from Ogden to downtown and from Provo to downtown. There's been nothing to back up on the main corridor of I-15. I-84 remains closed essentially between Morgan and Hanover for eastbounders, and most people are taking the loop of SR-66, which then brings you down in Hanover. Everybody else just kind of sitting and waiting. The semis are all parked on I-84, not going anywhere. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 7 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com.
We are celebrating our 100th birthday here at KSL News Radio by taking the show on the road to highlight the different communities along the Wasatch Front.
And this morning, our focus is on the southern half of Utah County. And if you're looking for a scenic drive, look no further than the Mount Nebo Scenic Byway. KSL News Radio's Adam Small has details.
The 38-mile loop begins in Payson and takes you through the Uinta National Forest to Nephi. Luke Decker, a Spanish Fork District Ranger, says it often gets overlooked by those choosing to take I-15 south.
So a lot of folks pass it by going by on the interstate on I-15, but if you're willing to take a little bit of extra time, some really beautiful locations along that road.
While the loop has places to camp, hike, and kayak, Decker says the Devil's Kitchen is one of the most popular places to stop by.
You know, the Red Rock and some of those, unique features that you don't expect to see when you're up in the Alpine there.
Decker says despite a late snowfall, they are hoping to have the full loop open for Memorial Day weekend. Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
The fifth largest employer in Utah County happens to be the Nebo School District, which spans from Springville to Santaquin. District spokesperson Lana Hiskey says the area is also growing quickly, but thanks to nearby BYU and UVU, they've been able to find enough new teachers to keep up.
Each year we have about 270 new teaching positions that we need to staff, and so far we've been able to fill those.
This week, the Nebo District is graduating over 2,400 students, and those students earned over $28 million in scholarships.
Wow, bravo. One of Southern Utah County's hidden gems and oldest attractions is the Springville Museum of Art.
The collection actually started in 1903. Even though the museum wasn't built until 1937, we consider it the oldest collection.
Museum Director Dr. Rita Wright says people love the museum because it almost feels like the art, and I love this, is giving you a hug when you walk in.
I do. A group of Draper City firefighters are hard at work battling flames in New Mexico. The crew is among several Utah groups helping fight the Hermit's Peak and Calf Canyon fires near Albuquerque. The fire has burned more than 311,000 acres and is now 42% contained. The Draper crew has been there for 2 weeks and plans to return home this weekend.
We know you've been sitting on the edge of your seat as closing arguments prepare tomorrow in Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's defamation trial. In his testimony, Depp once again denying he abused his ex-wife. Heard's defense team presenting Depp with a series of text messages in which Depp appeared to use vile language in reference to women.
Heard appeared emotional as her lawyer read a sexually explicit text message about Heard, which ended with these words.
I can only hope that karma kicks in and takes the gift of breath from her.
Depp attempted to explain that language.
When you're accused of horrific acts and things that you have not done, you have a tendency, as humans, to get very, very irate and angry.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert reporting.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.